is delivered,
sin forgiven, and ever properly understood. Everywhere he went, my Lord was doing good.
He cleansed the leper, he set the captive spirit free.
Though the world denied him, they crucified him, the Lord abides with us forever.
And his mighty power
is just the same today.
I know you like that. Isn't that beautiful? I hate to leave it. I really do. Listen, listen.
Everywhere he went.
Everywhere he went. He was doing good. He'll do it for you today. Today. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Wonderful singers, wonderful music. Welcome to Open Bible Dialogue, Open Bible Telecast. We do both now, broadcasting over radio stations, many places, and then telecasting all over the world. Isn't that beautiful? I love it. I love it. Now, our broadcast today is a very distinctive one. I don't think I've ever done this subject before, and I wait on the Lord for wisdom and guidance and do my best to be led by the Holy Spirit. Really do. But I want to do a program today on self-righteousness. Listen to me. Self-righteousness, the greatest plague in today's church. And that's not the title. The title is Self-Righteousness Will Leave a Multitude Left Behind. There will be millions, millions of people simply because of self-righteousness that will not go in that rapture. That will not go in that rapture because they haven't been born again. They are not living a Bible Christian life. There's only one life that will go up in that rapture, and that's the life centered in Christ. That's the life lost in Christ, where the old man has been put to death, and the new man has been risen in resurrection life by the blood and by the authority and by the power of Jesus Christ and his Bible and his Holy Spirit. If ever there's been a day that we ought to cry out to those around us about self-righteousness, this has got to be the day. With a burden right down deep in my heart, I reach out to you because I don't want nobody out there to miss this rapture. And I don't want nobody out there to miss spending eternity in heaven. Now, let me give you some signs of self-righteousness. Now, this will give you the means of many questions. So you listen carefully. The lines will be open in a moment. Internet, of course, we take questions and answers over email. And we'll give you our email address. But I want to give you, very simply, some signs of self-righteousness. They consider the Bible to be open to their interpretation. A true sign of self-righteousness is when a person says, well, I can interpret the Bible like I please, like I want to. Oh, no, you can't. Oh, no, the Bible has no private interpretation. It is a clear book. It is a literal book. And there is no room for your interpretation, okay? Open to any translation of the Scripture. You watch anybody that's open to all these different translations. It don't make no difference. It don't make no difference to them. Any translation will do. Something's wrong with that. That's a good sign of self-righteousness. Understand? Understand? They call people, this self-righteousness. They call people legalists who have a standard of Bible Christianity. They call people legalists who said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. They call people legalists who tells us that there's things we shouldn't do. We don't curse and swear and smoke and drink and live like the world. I mean, yes, we're called legalists if we teach you against that kind of living, okay? Does not know what it means to pray through. Anybody that doesn't know what it means to get on your knees and pray until the Spirit of God comes up on your life and there is a movement in your heart of genuineness, if you don't know how to pray through, it's a good sign you're probably a self-righteous person. Are you listening to me? Now, I'm trying to get through to you, and I'm being just as straight as I know how to be, because I don't want anybody to miss the rapture or miss heaven and put the blame on Joe Chambers. I want you to know the truth. They reject the Ten Commandments. They reject the Ten Commandments. That's those who are self-righteous. They reject any commandment, any standard that's written in the Bible, including the Ten Commandments. I have no regular church life. They have no regular church life. They're not committed to the house of God. They're not planted. The Bible says, blessed are they that are planted in the house of God. Oh, he said they shall be part of the temple in that glorious day. They have no prayer life. They have no prayer life. And I said a while ago, praying through, that's very important. But they don't. Many of these self-righteous people have no prayer life at all. We've got loads of preachers today that have no prayer life. If you don't believe you can pray through, it's a good sign you're self-righteous. Last of all, they do not have a commitment to reading and studying and searching the Holy Scripture. Now, those are signs. I'm not being unclad. I'm not saying all of them, one of them. I'm just telling you those are good signs that you ought to listen to and you ought to consider so that you might be careful that you're not just religious, self-righteous, religious, without being truly a born-again Christian, right with God, living a life because you know him and he knows you. Now, let me read to you in the book of Romans, chapter 10, two or three verses here that really helps get this point across. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Now, you got to hear that from Paul, the book of Romans, the Romans Road, remember, Romans Road, it's the pathway. There's no better pathway for heaven than Romans Road. The book of Romans, and this is in Romans 10, says, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Now, whose knowledge is he talking about? Of course, he's talking about the knowledge of the Bible, the knowledge of the truth of God. Let me read you the next verse. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Self-righteousness. They're going about trying to figure out their own righteousness without the Bible, without the truth of the Word of God, without the power of the Holy Spirit, without praying through. Anybody in the world that ought to get on their knees and pray till you know you prayed through is a person who seeks the way of the Lord, who seeks the way of Christ, who wants to be careful that you are not self-righteous. I got to read verse 3 again. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You know that this world is full of that. Everybody I read after, it's being said over and over and over in today's world that people treat the Bible like a smorgasbord, that the Bible is almost not even a part of their Christian faith and their walk with God. If you're not living by the Bible, then you cannot be a Christian. Just that plain. The Word of God is your roadmap to heaven. It's the manufacturer's handbook. Did you notice that? The Creator, the Manufacturer's Handbook. That's the Bible. Oh, yes, we must know His righteousness. We must be born again. We must be born again. One more verse. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, I'll have more scriptures, but that is really good. And I want to deal with you individually. Everybody listening to me. Hey, call friends that you know of that ought to be listening. Because there is a world of people out there who are so self-righteous, you can't say nothing to them about the faith. You can't witness to them about coming to Christ. I'm a Christian. Don't try to judge me. I mean, all kinds of words we get. I'll read you some of the things we get today, some of the things we hear, because I want this to really get to your heart. I want you to make sure you know that you are not just self-righteous, because the church world is full of them. Full of them. And if you are already bugged at me, it's a good sign you're self-righteous. If you're already ready to turn me off, and maybe you've already done it and you're not even hearing me, I don't know, but you know, well, you wouldn't know I'm saying this, but listen to me carefully. Please don't turn me off yet. If you don't like what I'm saying, it ought to scare you. It ought to at least stop you. You see, I'm not out to condemn anybody. I'm out to get you on your knees seeking the way of the Lord. I'm out to get you in your Bible, allowing the Bible to direct your life. I don't want you to follow Joe Chambers. I'm telling you right now, I don't want that responsibility on my shoulders. I want you to follow Christ. I want you to know what this Bible says. I want you to get in this book, and I want you to let God get a hold of your life. Now, before I go into some of the things we're seeing and hearing today everywhere, I want you to write down the numbers, okay, so our ladies can take your call. I preached a sermon last Sunday morning on the Master of Broken Lives. The Master of Broken Lives, and I thought it was just one of those best He's given me, and I want to give it to you today in a CD, on a CD. I want to give it to you on a CD. Give it to you. Did you notice? I'm not charging you a penny. I won't bill you for nothing. I want to give you a copy of that sermon on CD, and all you got to do is call those ladies sitting in there in the office, my sweet Juanita, and we always have a helper, my sweet lady, or these sweet ladies. I want you to call them at 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. The local number is 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. And then I've got an email that's right here in front of me, jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. You can email me a question, and these things I'm saying are things I want you to ask me questions about, and let's talk about the self-righteousness that floods the church world. I mean, I remember hearing Billy Graham, one of his staff people, something connected with him, saying that probably 90% of the church world has never been born again. Has never been born again. Where were those people in the church that are good people? That are just, you know, they live a clean life, but it's all of self. They do good things. I mean, they will serve people. They go to great extents. I mean, they travel across the world in mission activities. Many people do that are simply self-righteous. They've never been born again. And I'm telling you, they will spend the same eternity in the same place as the wicked, a place called the lake of fire. And I don't want that. I'm telling you, I don't want that. I want every one of you listening to me to go to heaven. Do you hear me? I want every one of you listening to me to go to heaven. And this little CD from Sunday morning sermon a week ago, this CD will bless you, the Master of a Broken Life. Alcoholism, tobacco, bondage, drugs, I mean, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, lesbianism, transvestite, I mean, whatever to the depth of sin your life may be. And you may just be a good moral person, but could I tell you something? You good moral people have to be born again too. Did you hear that? You good moral people have to be born again too. See, that's the reason many people are self-righteous. They've never been really bad. And since they've never really been bad, and they've never been, you know, given over to lies and doing ugly things and you know, robbing stores, never been given over to that, and they're really good people. Self-righteousness is not altogether bad. It's simply bad when it's opposite the righteousness He gives. when it's opposite the power of the blood. Do you understand? So many self-righteous people are absolutely good people, going about doing good, but they've never been born again. They've never had an encounter with the saving blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Nothing, nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm after you just simply for that. Is that fair enough? Is that fair enough? Do you understand what I'm seeking to do for you and for your life? I'm trying to get you to understand these people that scream against preachers like me, that try to teach against wrong living and adulterous living and careless living and worldly living. We preach against that because the Bible tells us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's biblical, you see. That's biblical, you see. And there's so many wonderful things in this Bible. Let me read you this from the book of Hebrews. Very powerful. You got to hear it. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for the sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary. Do you see? Do you see? For if we sin willfully after receiving the truth, then there remains no more sacrifice. You're lost. You're just simply lost. Now, I'm giving you the Bible. I'm giving it to you lovingly, and I'm calling you to get on your face. If you don't know you've been washed in the blood, if you've never prayed through, I heard a preacher saying some time ago, that's nothing to praying through. That's not biblical. Don't tell me it's not biblical. A man who's been saved 63 years and has prayed through multiple times, don't tell me it's not real, because I wouldn't have made it some of those times if I had not got on my knees and prayed until I prayed through. And prayed until God got a hold of my life. If you don't believe in praying through, it's pretty evident that you are self-righteous and that you've never really been born again. Now, the lines are open, okay? The lines are open, so grab your phone. Will you please grab your phone? What is this? Something here is trying to bother my internet, and I hope it don't bother nothing. I hope it all comes through. Oh, brother, believe me, these kind of programs are just absolutely wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. I'm trying to see if there's anything waiting on me here. I don't believe it is, so let's go back to that program and give me a call, 1-800-338-7884. Hey, the lines are open now, 704-391-0588. I want to hear from you. I want some red hot questions. I want you to rake me over the coals, if that's what I need, to get your point across so that I can then get my point across, okay? Call me quickly, 1-800-338-7884, 1-800-338-7884. I'm waiting on your calls. Now, let's talk about this, self-righteousness. Self-righteousness. Do you realize how many people it's going to be that's going to miss that rapture because they were caught up in their self-righteousness? You grab a phone now. The lines are beginning to ring, and I'm here to help you. I'm here to answer your questions. You are extremely important. You are extremely important. We're after blessing you with all the ability of our heart and to draw you close to the King. He loves you. He cares about you, and he's reaching for you. Now, let's talk about some things. I said earlier, the greatest plague in today's church world, the greatest plague is that of self-righteousness. People caught up in their own religion, caught up in their own righteousness, caught up in their own ways, caught up in doing their own thing, and no sense of God's divine laws, and no sense of God's divine truth. Now, grab your phone. I want to hear from you. I want to talk to you about a number of things. You know, simply put, self-righteous people are those that reject his righteousness and then eagerly pursue their own righteousness, okay? Those who reject his righteousness and eagerly pursue their own righteousness. And you are on the air. May I help you, please? All right, let me get this up. I don't know what I did. Here I go. Sometimes I forget a button. Yes, you there.
Okay. I have led a homosexual life all my life. I've never had any sexual relations with a woman. But on February 28th of last year, I got saved. And Are you telling me, I just heard what you said about once you've been saved and if you go back to doing the sin, that you can't get forgiven for it? Is that what you're asking me?
And that's not what I said, sir. If a person who is a Christian commits sin and they repent of that sin, they absolutely can get forgiveness.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I mean,
but see, some people think you can sin all you want to, and there's no consequence, that God's already forgiven your future sins. That is not true. If you sin, the Bible says we are to acknowledge that sin, we are to confess that sin, and He's faithful and just to forgive us of that sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that the Lord has saved you, has He set you free from that homosexual life?
Well, yes, but you know, the devil, I used to be on drugs and all kind of stuff, but that's my main thing right there, is a homosexual lifestyle. And the devil comes at me, he don't throw the drugs at me, he throws men at me, because that is the only thing that I have a problem with in my life.
Would you like to be completely delivered of that?
Yeah.
Did you know that there's what the Bible calls sanctification? That's when the old nature that you were born with and that you still have as a born-again Christian, that's when the power of that nature is broken. And then you're delivered and you will be free of that sin of homosexuality. I'm telling you, my brother, God will make you free. And see, many preachers aren't preaching this, which is not fair to you, but I preach it. And I'll send you some material about the sanctified lifestyle and how the Lord doesn't just forgive you of your past sins. He cleanses you from the power of sin. See, the power of sin keeps coming at us. I'm a man that's been saved 63 years. And I'm not tempted with many things that I guess some people are, such as what you just named. But I'm a human being. And I can get aggravated and have to go pray and ask the Lord to help me not get aggravated. See, we all need to be kept in the grace of God. Let me tell you what Paul said. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 9:27. He said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself would be a castaway. Now that's what you have to do. You have to keep under your body. You have to run to Christ. You have to pray through, and the Lord will deliver you, and you won't want other men.
I try to fast, and you know the devil throws headaches on you. You get nauseous. I know I need to be sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost.
Okay, you know what you need to do. Now, I want to put you back into my ladies, and they're going to take your name and address. They're going to note on there that I'm going to send you some material on being set free from the power of sin. He wants to set you free, brother. And I am grateful. I applaud you that you've come to Christ, and now you don't let the devil convince you that you can keep going back to that mess, because eventually it will enslave you, and you'll get yourself in a worse shape than you were before you got saved, okay?
Yeah, I know, but I'm not giving up on the Lord. I just need to get over this mess.
Okay, now you give my wife and those ladies your name and address. Let me make sure I get you on hold. Ladies, take this man's name and address. God bless you, friend. I'm going to be praying for you. What's your first name? Not your last, just your first.
Jonathan.
Jonathan, in the name of Jesus, I declare the sanctifying blood to be mighty in your life right now. I declare that blood to wash and set you free of that power. I bind that old spirit of homosexuality, because it came from the devil. It's an unclean spirit, and I command it broken. I command it broken, Jonathan. I claim that spirit broken and you set free to live a clean, godly life.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Now give my wife your telephone number, or the ladies, okay?
All right.
Give them your phone number and your address. Grab it, ladies. Hey, that is beautiful. I don't know what you think, but all I can think is that is beautiful. Now, I hope they got it. All right, ladies, I hope you can get it in there so my phone will quit messing me up in here. All right, give us a call, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Wasn't that beautiful? Jonathan. Everybody out there, you start praying for Jonathan, for this homosexual spirit is out there raging like a lion. The Bible says Satan goeth about seeking whom he may devour, and he's out to devour anyone, and Jonathan's going to be free, and God's going to help him live a clean, holy life. He's a brave man to call. He really is, and just say it like it is, and he knows the truth. I can tell that, to be sanctified and set free, and don't anybody out there quit praying. I graduate. grab your phones, 1-800-338-7884, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588 is our local number right here in Charlotte, North Carolina, and all the surrounding areas to Concord, all the way to Gastonia, up to Shelby, Hickory. We really cover a big area here, even Gaffney, South Carolina, down that direction, Rock Hill. Now give us a call. I want to hear from you. 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. And remember, email jrc@paulcreek.org. There is a multiplicity of questions that someone could ask me today. There are just so many. So don't let me sit here wanting you to ask a good red-hot question that would be a blessing to somebody. Here's a question now on 1 Corinthians 11:31. 1 Corinthians 11:31. Let me read it to you. But if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Isn't that beautiful? If we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. For when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So we judge ourselves. We don't need other people to judge us when we judge ourselves properly. And why we judge? Because the Lord is chastening us. He's dealing with us. He's dealing with our hearts like a father does a son, and showing us what's wrong and what we need to do something about, so that we repent and turn to God. And the grace of Christ covers our life. And so then if we judge ourselves and repent, as that man just did, and admitted he was still facing this thing. See, these old demon spirits that people have been bound with, they don't leave easily, and they'll do their best to come back. And that's why he needs to pray through, and he needs to stay covered with the blood every day the rest of his life. I'm telling you, friends, it's a joy. Now grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. I want to hear from you. You're important. You're important. Let's hear a question here about legalism. Now, this has got to be good. I've heard some people say that they grew up in unloving fundamental churches that were legalistic and not forgiving. You know, I'm sure there are churches like that, but I've been in a fundamental church for 63 years, and I've never been in one like that. Never. I've never been in an unloving church. I've never been in a church that didn't care about people. If I'm a pastor of church, I don't care who he is that walks in that door, he's going to be treated with a welcome. I'd run men and women off from this church in a hurry if they tried to condemn everybody who came in our doors, or anybody who came in our doors that needed care and needed help. We don't believe in that. So, yes, there may be churches like that. And most of the cases, those are just people who never would listen. See, people who won't listen, who won't do what they're told to do, who won't hear the word of God, they begin to condemn the church family. And they begin to find fault with other people. And they start putting the blame. And most of these cases where people come out of fundamental churches and now they say they were unloving, they didn't forgive me, was because they kept on doing the same thing 100 times and kept on wanting forgiveness when they didn't do anything right themselves. See, you got to understand, there are always two sides to these issues. Oh, it's important. Therefore, today, they reject fundamental teachings. Well, that's sad, because they will lose their soul if they reject the fundamental truth of the Bible. And so I would say to them, forget what you experienced, forget some hurt you think you had, and just go to Jesus. And go all the way and find you a place. I think they are wrong to reject those teachings, but that is what they believe. Please comment. Well, I hope I've done that. And I'm here to tell you, I know people who are finding fault with straight truths. I have a lot of people who find fault with me. I'm probably as hated as anybody in America. And who are the people that don't want to live clean and they want to live godly? And they don't want me to say you got to live clean and you got to live godly. And they don't want me to say that if you sin, you got to repent and you got to turn around. They want me to be, you know, just real placid and just give in to everything, and I can't do it because I got to answer to God. Okay? Oh, that's a good question. Legalism. Yes, there are legalists that are bad. Yes, there are legalists that are overbearing and hard. In most cases, legalists that are like that, they don't even live right themselves. They got things hidden in their life that shouldn't be there. And basically, they condemn others because they really feel condemned in themselves. So remember all of those yeas and nays and ifs and ands and put them behind you. and just say, I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. And so I'm going to find me a good Bible-believing church, and I'm going to live for Christ and for God and do what's right. That's very, very important. Now, I think I've answered those questions, and more, I hope, will come. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. Grab your phone. The ladies are standing by. Our toll-free number, 1-800-338-7884. Anywhere in America or Canada, you can call toll-free, 1-800-338-7884. And again, the local number, 704-391-0588. And my email, jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. Everybody out there. Now, you start praying for Jonathan, okay? We'll hear from him again. Down the road, he's going to tell us what a victory has been wrought in his life, how those old spirits have been driven away and they can't even come near him. When you're covered by the blood, when you live under the umbrella of the blood, the enemy, you see, when you're on fire for God, you're too hot for the devil to handle. Let me repeat that. If you're on fire for God in the Bible, praying through, going to the house of God, worshiping, being full of Christ and full of his love, living a clean, godly life, I promise you, when you get on fire for God, you're too hot for the devil to handle. I promise you, the Lord will give you victory over everything the enemy brings against you. And always remember, you're never tempted because of God. You're tempted because you are drawn away of your own lust and enticed. So that's why you need to be set free and sanctified. I want to tell you, people say, I'm living like I believe. That's my business. It is. But I want you to know, if you're living like you believe and it's not according to the Bible, you're lost. You're lost, and I don't want you to be lost. Some people say, God and I have an understanding with one another, and I don't have to do the things you say because God and I have an understanding. Well, God's only understanding with anybody is according to this wonderful book. Did you hear me? I hear people say all the time, well, we live by the Holy Spirit. We don't live by the Bible. The center of Christianity is the Holy Spirit, not the Bible. That's a lie from the devil. That's what's wrong with the charismatic world. They've been living by their charismatic experience and maybe speaking in tongues and doing all these kind of things. And so doctrine don't mean nothing to them. The center of the church is the Bible. This church is operated by the Bible. Every time we have service, the central part of this church is the Holy Book. You hear me? And I mean that. It's a holy book. And you on the air, and may I help you, please?
Yes, sir. Pastor Chambers, how are you?
Hey, George.
I have a comment, I guess, and that is this, that as a born-again Christian, I totally follow every word that the Bible says, and when I talk to the Bible study group that I go to, they will change some of the things to because they're... antagonistic or they feel that their intelligence tells them what it says, and so that's troubling because these are men that go to church and we get together once a week for Bible study, and so the humility necessary to believe every word in the Bible is very important.
Well, you know, now you said that they kind of interpret it like they please. The Bible said there is no such thing as private interpretation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You understand that, don't you?
Yes, I do. I do. And in one case, we were talking about one particular thing, and I says, well, this one Bible has removed the blood out of we are saved by his blood, and one of the members says, well, that doesn't matter. And so he was saying that removing the word blood from we are saved by the blood was not a big deal. And that's everything in the Bible. That's the whole purpose of salvation. And so there's, I guess maybe I'm commenting to those people that are going to Bible studies that we've got to stay in agreement with the word 100%.
George, you could not be more right. And I love you for saying it. The Bible is pure. The Bible says it is so clear that a wayfaring man, though a fool, shall not err therein. Anybody that takes the Bible literally, and believes every word of it literally, there is no way they can fail. And it's the right way, and it's the only right way.
I know, that's beautiful.
Beautiful. Thank you, George.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. What a beautiful call. And indeed, do you understand what we are saying? That's out there everywhere. People want to argue with the Bible. They want to argue, well, I don't believe it really means it like that. Well, why did it say it like that? You know, it's so simple. When I got saved, I couldn't read. I was totally ignorant. Unlearned. Not ignorant, but unlearned. Literally unlearned. I'd never learned to read. I just was a school dropout. Well, I was given a Bible, happened to be King James, and I was told to read it, and so I started reading. I learned to read with the King James Bible. And do you know, 63 years, I've been saved 63 now, a month of March just passed, 63 years, I've never had any trouble understanding nothing in this Bible. And if I have something that I don't understand immediately, I don't get all troubled and angry and try to make it something I want to make it. I leave it alone. I keep praying. And before you know it, one day, I'm in the Bible, and here it comes. The sweet interpretation of that scripture just kind of grips my heart. And I say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. I've been wanting to know that and what that means. And it always agrees with all the rest of the Bible. The Bible does not contradict itself. And when you start giving scriptures your own interpretation, you're going to be amazed at how it contradicts another scripture and another scripture. Just literally live in the Bible. Oh, what a beautiful truth. Thank you so much there. Is there another caller? 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Now grab your phone quickly. Grab your phone quickly and remember the toll-free 1-800-338-7884, local 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588, and then email jrc@paulcreek.org, jrc@paulcreek.org. Let me read this one. Pastor Chambers, could you please speak on the two following scriptures? Wow. Two of the most frightening words in the Bible spoken by Jesus. Now, let me see if I can get one of them. Matthew 7:13. Matthew 7:13. You know, I love going to the Bible, and I love it when our Bible, this broadcast, telecast, becomes a Bible study, and I can see that's happening today. Chapter 7 and verse, I'm trying to make sure I get it here, verse 13. Let me read it for my friend. Enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Hey, did you hear that? I don't need to read both of them, my friend who sent this email. That one's clear enough. There's more in the Bible on this, though. It's not just one place. Enter you in at the straight gate, for narrow is the way, and straight is the gate. This is the gate. This is the straight way. You don't have a right to interpret it your own way. You just take it plain like it says it, and that settles it. And if anybody would say there's nothing wrong with a Bible that removes the blood, that person has truly never been born again. There's no way a born-again person that truly knows Jesus, your heart would pound out of you if you made a statement like that. Your heart would jump and quiver inside of you if you made a statement like that. Since I've got saved, I can't get close to sin. My body starts trembling. My body starts trembling if I would ever get close to sin. Of course, most of that's a long time ago as I grew in the Lord and had to learn some things. I learned quickly that getting close to sin would make me tremble. It would make my heart hurt. And I would hear the Holy Spirit said, that's not the way. That's not the way. Not some clear voice, but just a feeling in my heart. Listen, verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And notice this. And few there be which go in thereat. Did you hear that? Few? Are you one of the few? Are you one of the mass multitude out there doing your own thing and living like you please. That was wonderful, my friend. God bless you, dear Sherry. You are always wonderful. Thank you, Pastor Chambers, she says. Continually lifting you up in prayer. Love you in Christ. That's a joy. I love to get those kind of messages. Let's go here. Holy Spirit converts, convicts the world of sin. Let's go there. How does the Holy Spirit convict the world of sin? If I don't feel the pull of the Holy Spirit in my heart, what does that mean? That means you either have never been born again, or you're in a bad state and need to pray for God to get a hold of your heart, because the pull of the Holy Spirit is an incredible thing. Can I trust my conscience? To some degree you can, but not totally. You've got to remember, it's got to be the Lord whom you trust and not your conscience. Your conscience has to be nurtured. It has to be taught the Word of God. It has to be trained and schooled in the way of Christ. There's some limited consciousness that a Christian has immediately when they get saved, but that's not complete. That's limited. And as they grow in the Lord, it gets bigger and better and bigger and better. Here's another. Please comment on this verse. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the rulers of this world is judged. Now, I like that. The Holy Spirit convicts you of sin. That's what's wrong. Of righteousness, that's what's right. See, the Holy Spirit will convict you. When I got saved on a, I believe it was a Monday night, I was 16. I didn't know one scripture in the Bible. I went home, and the next day I'm working on the farm with my daddy, and I'm on the tractor, and I'm trying to fix something, and I'm trying to loosen a bolt, and the wrench slips. And I say the word D-A-M, D-A-M-N maybe you would spell it. I say that word. I've said that word a million times, thousands of times as a kid, because I was a foul-mouthed young'un. I was terrible. I'd go to the pool halls and cuss and swear, and old people would sit there and listen to this little boy cussing and swearing and laugh at me. But when Jesus got a hold of me, I said the word damn one time and felt like I had almost blasphemed God. I repented and I cried out to God and he forgave me, standing there beside that old tractor, and I never said it again. Can you believe that? 16-year-old kid. That's what it means when it says convict us of righteousness. If you've been truly saved and you put a cigarette in your mouth, you're going to feel unclean. And if cigarettes don't bother you, it's a pretty good sign you haven't been born again or you haven't grown in the Lord like you should. Now notice I gave two sides there. There are some people that have been saved that didn't quit smoking immediately, but it sure will start condemning you. And you'll feel convicted by the Holy Spirit. My body is the body. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. This body belongs to Christ. I can't afford to keep killing it with cancer smoke, you know. And you begin to feel these things when you're really born again and you begin to clean your life up. Is that good? Do you understand that? Did I answer you right there, my friend, who sent the question? Let's go to another here. These are good. Hey, I want more of you. Concerning George Bible Study Group, how could any true Christian find no problem with taking the blood out of the scripture? I just answered that one. Something dead wrong. That is frightening and almost stupid. Well, we won't call them stupid, but it's almost, he said. You know, it is no question about it. It is no question about it. We live on the verge of the coming of the Lord, and it's time we took everything in that Bible really serious. It is. Oh man, what a broadcast. Are you hearing me? If you just are living your own self-righteous life, why don't you stop right now and say, Brother Chambers, I'm going to the Bible. I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to pray till I pray through, till that blood washes me, until I know I've been saved and cleaned up, and then I'm going to live by the Bible. I'm going to live by the Bible. Well, let's take another one here. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Brother Chambers.
Yes.
In regard to biblical interpretation, I'd like, if you don't mind, I quote just a few passages here and let you explain why this happened.
All right, quote one quickly, okay?
Is it all right to go ahead and quote it?
Yeah, quote it, please.
This is from Problem Text, and it said, so the 10 greatest Greek grammarians who ever lived, Prince, Vincent, Thayer, Gregory, Nestle, Robertson, Davis, Machen, Warfield, and Hort, all wound up teaching no tribulation, no millennium, no restoration of Israel, no rapture, no antichrist, no judgment seat of Christ, and no revival alone. And how could they have erred this far in primary biblical interpretation when Cronin, Moody, Billy Sunday, D.L. Moody, all were teaching and preaching the right interpretation, and they lived at the same time as these men? The men who were not Greek grammarians got it right from the King James Version, and the men who corrected the King James text in 31,000 places
got it wrong.
College of Greek, you know, the Sinaiticus and Vaticanus.
I've studied all of that, and you're right on, friend. Let me answer your question now. You see, the reason those men who were such scholars got it wrong was because they were scholars. They were studious in the sense of the natural and the flesh. They were studious in the sense of the unconverted mind. They were studious in the sense of just digging through things and trying to come up with what they want to think it meant. And they erred utterly. But those other men who were maybe somewhat unlearned, not completely, but somewhat, certainly not Greek scholars, they got it right because they simply believed the Word of God. That's all. That's all it takes to get it right is simply believe the simple, literal Word of God. Now, you got another one? Well, let's do one more.
Yes.
One more, quickly. My time is short and I got people waiting.
Yeah, thank you.
One more, okay?
Thanks a lot.
Have you got one more? You said you had several. I was going to give you a chance for one more.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, a lot of these young ministerial students, they'll go into a Christian institution with a King James Bible, and they come out with an NIV, and I think that's part of some of the apostasy.
The NIV is the worst translation as you could imagine. It's not a translation. It is a transliteration. Do you understand the difference in translation and transliteration? That means the translator sought for the literal meaning as he perceived it or she perceived it, and thereby they came up with their own opinion, and that was transliterated rather than translated. The Bible must be translated word for word. That's the only way. And almost all of these new versions are transliterated. Transliterated. Remember that word, transliterated. Not translated, but transliterated, as the person may perceive the literal meaning to be. Now, let me tell you something about the NIV. They had a lesbian woman. A lesbian woman, Malakop. I interviewed her, got that interview still on a CD. I interviewed her for a radio program, and I really need to play it again, I guess, now. But I don't have it on DVD, just a CD. And she admitted she was a scholar, English scholar, and she helped them translate certain words and get the better meaning. And she said, we have improved the Bible with the NIV by making it less condemning of the homosexuality. In fact, she said in one place, 1 Corinthians, I think 6:9, she said it really condemns those people who are condemning the homosexuals. It condemns them. It rather attacks people who attack the homosexuals. Well, we don't attack the homosexuals. We just tell people it's wrong. Hey, thank you, brother. You are dear, and I'm just glad you called, okay?
Thanks very much.
God bless you. On the air. May I help you, please? Well, I didn't get that one. I'm sorry. You'll have to help me, somebody. You on the air. May I help you, please? Well, I don't get that one either, so we'll move on. Hey, help me, ladies, and give me the ones that are good. Hey, I want to tell you something. This is so good because it is so important for today. We've got to learn that this Bible is the pure, true Word of God. I was talking to the clock. I'm sorry. This is the true, pure Word of God. And there's so many things people do. Some people say, well, I'm in the purpose-driven life. Yeah, you better watch Rick Warren, because he's going to lead you to be religious without being born again. I'm having dreams and revelations, so I have my own ideas. Now, you are on the air. May I help you, please? You are on the air. May I help you, please? Well, ladies, line 4 is for some reason not working. You on the air? Are you there now? Well, it's not there and it's not working, ladies, and so help me with line 4. Hey, I want to tell you something. When you begin to study the Bible, and you begin to really get this word deep in your heart, it sets you on fire. It changes everything about your life. It changes everything. A lot of people, and this is one of the things with the religious crowd, I believe on Jesus. What else do I need to do? You need to give him your life. You need to be washed in his blood. You need to be saved to the core of your being. I mean, made a new creature in Christ. Now you on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Brother James. I've got a verse, a part of a verse that I'd like for you to explain. I feel sure you'll be familiar with it. It basically says, if the righteous scarcely be saved, then where is the unsaved?
If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? Do you have the location of that?
No, sir, I don't.
I don't have it. I know it's a scripture. I don't have it right on in my mind location. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? See, this Christianity is not a game. It's an eternal thing. I mean, you're deciding where you're going to spend eternity at. You're deciding, do I belong to Christ or do I belong to the devil? And you don't do it simply. The Bible tells us very clearly that we ought to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Fear. Everybody out there, if you would become so concerned about your relationship with God, that with fear and trembling, you would cry out to God and pray till you begin to pray through and get in this Bible and read and believe exactly what the Bible says, it wouldn't take you but a few days until you'd have a faith so real and a walk with God so genuine, you'd be a happy person. You know, that's very true. Go ahead, my friend.
Well, that was what I was wondering. What did that scripture mean?
It means you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It means there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. That's another scripture. And as I read earlier from Romans, it said very clearly, people go about trying to work out their own salvation, and they have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. And so we must warn people everywhere, everybody listening to me, you are not to work it out of your own. You're not to figure it out in your head. You're to get your Bible, and you're to search the scripture. You're to go hear an old-fashioned gospel preacher and make sure he's an old-fashioned preacher. And he don't compromise it. I'll try to butter it up for you, you know. Some churches just want good members that pay good tithes, and they kind of let you get away with everything or anything. We don't do that here. Anybody comes here, we want to see them born again. We want to know they're saved, and then we want to help them grow and mature in the things of the Lord. We got a new wonderful couple. Their last name is Miller. I won't say any more. I'm sure they're listening. And, oh, he has got wonderfully saved. Had trouble with things through the years, but now he's born again, and he's going to grow, and God's going to save his family. I'm believing that, and he'll save you. And if you need a Bible-believing church, they'll treat you with nothing but love. We don't condemn people. We don't. When people walk in these doors, they don't know about us, and we don't know about them. We just love them and treat them gentle and welcome them. They may be different from us in a lot of ways, but we don't even pay that a bit of attention. We're here to teach you the truth and to lead you in the ways of the Bible. Amen?
Hey, I agree with that 100%, Brother Chambers, and I appreciate you answering that question, Father.
Hey, I over-answered it, don't I? I love you, brother. Thank you for calling. Thank you for calling. Anybody else on the lines around, give us a call. We're here to be a blessing to you. We're here to help you. So call quickly, 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588, email jrc@paulcreek.org. I'm trying to see if there's any more emails. My email sometimes goes to changing. It moves around on me, and so I don't always find everything that comes. So if you have an email, call me. I will do my best. The ladies are signaling me, and sometimes their hand will be in front of their face, and so the skin of the hand and the face is the same, and I can't count the fingers. I think I got that one, though. I think it's line three. Or is it line three? You on the air. May I help you, please? You on the air. May I help you, please?
She said I was going to be on line four.
Well, you on line three, so go for it, sir.
Yes, sir. Can you explain what the letters mean, B-E-M-A and Bema Seat?
The B-E-M-A, the Bema. Oh, that's the Bema is when every believer has to go before the Bema. That's the judgment seat of Christ. Bema is the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible said judgment must first begin at the house of God. And if it first begins at the house of God, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? That's the Bema. That's where every one of us who are saved will be judged and rewarded according to our works.
I know that, sir, but what does B-E-M-A stand for?
Do you know? It's never crossed my mind. I will find it out for you if it's possible. I don't know. B-E-M-A, Bema. It probably has a biblical, it probably has a biblical meaning in the word, and I've never given it a thought. Nobody's ever asked me that question in 43 years of Open Bible Dialogue and now Open Bible Telecast. And so I'm glad you ask it. I do not know the answer, but I will get the answer for you, and you'll be listening next week.
Okay.
Is that fair enough?
Yes, sir.
I'm just glad you asked that, the Bema. And I never thought to ask what the word Bema stands for. I never thought about it. No. Oh, we got a lot to learn. You on the air. May I help you, please?
How did Satan think about being above God whenever he was in heaven?
How did he think about being driven out when he was in heaven? I guess he was so stubborn and bullheaded that he didn't think about what it was going to cost him. And he rebelled against God and Christ. And Jesus said, I beheld Satan and fall from heaven. So what made Satan do that was he said, I will. Five times Satan said, I will. See, your will is always contradictory to the Christian life. You've got to give up your will and do his will. Okay?
But I thought there was no sin in heaven.
Well, Satan himself rebelled against God and got thrown out, so he was rebellious, and that was wrong. But, you know, heaven is not a place of sin, but the devil sinned and got thrown out, and there won't be no, in the new heaven and the new earth, there will be no sin. You can depend on that. Okay? Thank you, and God bless you. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Brother Chambers. I have a comment and a question about your self-righteousness. I've always heard people say that when somebody judges another person, or they think they're judging, someone's judging them, they always say, well, you're self-righteous because you judge me. Can you comment on the judge? Well,
that's a good question. The Bible says judge righteous judgment. Judge righteous judgment. We all are judges. You judge what you're going to eat for your next meal. You judge where you're going to let your grandchildren go or your children go. You judge where you're going to go on your vacation. You try to pick the clean place and not the unclean place. We all are judges. Now, when we speak to people in sin and we say to them, we want to help you find Christ, and they say, you're judging me. You say, well, yes, to some degree I am, but I'm judging because you are very clearly not right with God, and I want to help you be right with God, and so it's my business to warn you. The Bible tells me we're to warn sinners. How would you warn a sinner if you don't tell him that's wrong? You can't tell a sinner he's wrong if you don't tell him why he's wrong. See, if you'll go to Ezekiel 33, we read this last Saturday. I won't try to read it again because my time's cutting down on me. But it says very clearly, if you see a man living in sin and you don't tell him, then you're going to be responsible because he's lost. So you are responsible to judge. But you must judge righteous judgment, and you must not be guilty of the same thing you're helping another man with. You got to be a godly person with tears on your cheeks and a sob in your voice, and you got to care about their soul.
Right. I agree with you. And one last comment, question. The scripture says, judge not lest you be judged. The rest of that scripture says, for what measure you meet shall be measured back to you again. So it says, if you do judge, it'll be measured back to you. So is that saying that you can't judge or shouldn't judge? Just saying.
No, it's saying that you should judge clean judgment, and you should judge only when you are in the right position to do it, and that means you've been cleansed of that thing. If you're doing it yourself, you ought not open your mouth. You only help a man when you've turned to the right way and are serving God. You can't help a man if you're doing wrong yourself.
That's good, brother.
God bless you. Thank you for calling. Hey, there are so many more, And I'm sorry. Time is running out on me. I could probably take one more, but I want you to know something. This broadcast has been a blessing to me. Now, I want to tell you, listen to me. Let me try to close it right. I'm giving a free gift today, and it's a message I preached last Sunday morning on the master of a broken life. The master of broken lives is actually how it says. The master of broken lives. If you got a broken life, I want to give that CD to you. If you know somebody with a broken life, I give it to you for them. And every one of us knows people who have broken lives. That is a message that will bless somebody. Because Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to call the sinner to repentance. The Bible says that. He didn't come to call the righteous, and that means the self-righteous. Because you can't help a self-righteous man until you help him give up his self-righteousness. And then you can help him. And so you will love that message. And I give it to you. All you got to do is call 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588 or the toll-free number 1-800-338-7884. Now, you can email me, jrc@paulcreek.org, okay? You can email me at jrc@paulcreek.org, jrc@paulcreek.org. I really want you to have this message. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I want to help you grow in the things of God in Christ. I want to help you live a clean life, and I want you to know that self-righteous people are going to miss it. Do you remember what Jesus said? That there'd be so many multitudes standing there and saying, I did this. And he's going to say to them, I don't know you. I never knew you. Can you imagine standing at the judgment seat and thinking, oh, I've been so righteous and I've been so holy and I've done all these good things, but you never surrendered to Christ and really got born again and really saved by the blood, and then you stand there and you're not ready to meet him. What a horrible day that will be. I don't want you to be one of them. I really don't. I care about you. I love you, and I'm reaching out to you today. I hope this broadcast has been a blessing. Well, it's been a good one to me, because we're really dealing with a red hot subject. Self-righteousness. Those that are going to miss the rapture and be part of the left behind. And there's millions listening. Millions potentially to listen out there. If you don't get right with God, you're going to be left behind. And so I call on you. Now again, I want to give you this sermon. The Master of Broken Lives, 704-391-0588, and then toll free 1-800-338-7884, and then my email, jrc@paulcreek.org, and I'd love to have you in church tomorrow. I guarantee you, you'll hear a sermon that will bless your life and maybe even bring you to Christ. Wouldn't that be something if those listening to me, out of that, three or four would come to know Christ tomorrow, and you would be ready to live for him and serve him. I love you. Man, do I love you. Man, do I love you. You are my interest and my joy.